Jesus' name. God, we come to you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you love us. And you're for us. And you're not against us. And God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, God, what your Spirit would have us to know and to live out this morning. And God, let us be careful not to be just hearers of the word, but God, doers there also. And God, for everything that happens this morning, for all that you do, we'll give you all the glory and all the credit. It belongs to you and you alone. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So last week, we started a new series called Beyond the Natural. Everybody say Beyond the Natural. Beyond the Natural. And we gave out some really big words last week. We talked about the transcendent nature of God. How about that? Transcendent nature of God. All you Bible students. The transcendent nature of God is simply this. It talks about the idea of God being transcendent. It means that he cannot be measured by natural means. And he exists above and beyond. He is, we said last week, he is kind of other, right? God is other. But in that, well, we talked about how the Bible said that he holds up all things by his mighty power. He calls himself the I Am. When God tells Moses, Moses asked God, who should I tell you sent you, sent me? He said, I am. That just says it all right there. I am. Sent you. But he's also in his transcendent nature, in his beyond nature, in his other, if you will, nature. He is also what we call immanent. He is his immanent nature. It means that God encompasses or is manifest in the material world. So God is both transcendent and he's also immanent. And so actually, if we get those mixed up and we only look at one aspect, we'll have bad theology, and we'll have a bad way to look at God. It matters how we see God. It matters the way we see our God. And the idea that, because if we just realize and just think of God as just immanent and like here with us and right, you know, we miss the fact that he is also other. He is also outside of our realm. We don't have categories really in our mouth to explain who God is, right? The best they can do is just, they look at God and they say, hallelujah, like whatever that ever, right, mean. Right, just, you know, whatever, like, God, you're other, you're not from this, but you're also immanent. God chooses to live He chooses to mess around in our natural material world. Isn't that awesome? That God is both other, but he's also immanent. And if we understand these things, it'll help us as we walk out our walk with God. Because if we just think of God as other and out there and, you know, well, then what does God do for us, me, right here in my natural? Like, if he's just other and he doesn't mess with my own life, then he's just other. But aren't you glad that God is both transcendent and immanent, all at the same time? And so we talked about last week, the idea is that if we're not careful, we will only choose to live our lives in the immanent, in the natural realm. But God's called us to go beyond the natural, think outside the natural, think supernatural, if you will, and think beyond our own thinking. That means all of us logical people struggle with this idea. Because, man, I just, like Jessica said, I can just figure it out. I just want to figure it all out on my own. And I am a logical person. I'll say it again, like I said last week. But I thank God for a lot of the apologetics, people that defend the faith and bring evidence that come up. We understand different things in nature about the proofs of God and the resurrection, the proof of the resurrection in history and in the writings of biblical history and extra-biblical history that we see. I appreciate all those things. But as a logical person, you have to understand that you will never grasp with your finite mind a transcendent God. So you need to, all of us, and I get it because I am one. There came a day where I had to just go, and as much as it hurt my heart, to look at God and go, I don't get you. I don't understand it all. But I know in whom I believed. There's something inside me that speaks louder than my brain can possibly think through and understand. There are things that you'll never be able to process with your natural mind. And that's tough in the world that we live in, especially today, where everything is understood and knowledge is key, right? But we have to humble ourselves before God and realize He'll never figure it all out. We've been trying to figure out God since the garden. And thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for Jesus who came and showed us in human form who God is. The Bible says that Jesus was the very essence and the being of God. Jesus says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Aren't you glad that through Jesus you know that God isn't mad at you, but God loves you and He's for you. He's not against you. And so we talked about last week the idea of prayer. And prayer is that going beyond the natural. Because in your natural mind, how is speaking to the air going to change anything, right? But the idea is, and the understanding is, God wants us to go beyond the natural and use the avenue of prayer. He says, don't be anxious for anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. Like, don't be anxious. The answer for anxiety is not more figuring it out. The answer for anxiety is prayer. We talked about last week that the indicator light, when your indicator light comes on in your dash, in your car, it indicates that there's a problem and you should take it to the manufacturer, right? When anxiety comes, it's an indication that there's something wrong and that you should take that issue to the manufacturer. Amen. So prayer. We talked about prayer last week. It was really good. Actually, my notes are out on the app, so if you want to go to the app and look at it. If you don't have our app, you're welcome to go to our website. And we're going to be trying to utilize that even more in the upcoming week. So if you don't have our app yet, go to our website. You can download it there. But this morning, we're going to talk about how the transcendent becomes immanent in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we got a video I want to show you.
If you've ever heard the phrase, the Holy Spirit, and you want to know what it means, where do you start?
Well, you have to start on page one of the Bible, where the uncreated world is depicted as this dark, chaotic place. But then, above the chaos, God's Spirit is there, hovering, ready to bring about life and order and beauty.
Okay, but what is God's Spirit?
Yeah, so the Spirit is the way the biblical authors talk about God's personal presence. The Hebrew word is ruach.
Ruach.
Yeah, you gotta clear your throat at the end.
So what is it?
Well, ruach can refer to a number of different things, but what they all have in common is energy.
Energy, how so?
So there's an invisible energy that makes the clouds move or the tree branches sway.
Right, wind.
So in Hebrew, that's ruach.
Okay.
Now take a big breath. So you feel that inside you?
Yeah, the air?
Well, specifically the energy, right? The vitality in your body that you get from breathing deeply, that too is ruach. And this is the same word used in the Bible to describe God's personal presence. Just like wind and breath are invisible, God's Spirit is invisible. Wind is powerful, and so God's Spirit is powerful. And just as breath keeps us alive, so God's Spirit sustains all of life.
Yeah, ruach.
Now, as we continue on in the story of the Bible, we see God's ruach giving special empowerment to people for specific tasks. The first person in the Bible this happens to is Joseph.
God's Spirit enables him to understand and interpret dreams.
And then it happens to this guy named Bezalel, and he's an artist.
God's Spirit empowers him with wisdom and skills. He's given creative genius to make beautiful things in the tabernacle.
And we also see God's ruach empower a group of people called the prophets.
They're able to see what's happening in history from God's point of view.
That's exactly right. And here's the problem as the prophets saw it. While God's ruach had created a really good world, humans have given in to evil. They've unleashed chaos into it through their injustice.
A new type of disorder.
Yes, and the prophet said the Spirit would come, just like in Genesis 1, but now to transform the human heart, to empower people to truly love God and others.
How will this new act of God's Spirit happen?
Well, centuries pass, and we are introduced to Jesus. And at the beginning of his mission, there's this beautiful scene where Jesus is being baptized in the waters of the Jordan River.
Yeah, the sky opens up, and God's Spirit comes and rests on him like a bird.
The story is saying that God's Spirit is empowering Jesus to begin the new creation. And we see this happening when he heals people or forgives their sins. He's creating life where there once was death.
Now, Israel's religious leaders oppose Jesus, and they eventually have him killed.
But even here, God's Spirit is at work. The earliest disciples of Jesus, who saw him alive from the dead, said it was God's energizing Spirit that raised Jesus.
This is the beginning of new creation.
Yes, and it's still going. When Jesus appeared to his closest followers, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
And soon after that, the Spirit powerfully comes on all of his disciples.
So that they can become a part of this new creation and share the good news and learn how to live by the energy and influence of God's Spirit.
And so today, the Spirit is still hovering in dark places.
Yes, pointing people to Jesus, transforming and empowering them so they can love God and others. And the Christian hope is that the Spirit is going to finish the job. The story of the Bible ends with a vision of a new humanity, living in a new world that's permeated with God's love and life-giving Spirit.
Hey, thanks for...
All right, everybody say rock. You gotta clear your throat. Say it again. Say rock. Ruach, the breath of God, creating life, right? A creation. We see God's Spirit creating life, a creation. Giving life, he's the presence of God. We see him also, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and it says this. It says, this is at Jesus' baptism that they spoke about in the video. It says, "And the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased.'" See, in that moment, you see the Trinity right there, right? You see God, you see Jesus, God the Son, and you hear a voice from heaven from the Father, and you see the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus like in the form of a dove. So we see the Trinity working in that. All three, the three, yet one. It's the, you know, it's one of those beyond the natural that you can figure out, right? So he's working. He works at the incarnation. The Holy Spirit works not only in creation, but at the incarnation of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, our Christmas scripture, in verse 35, it says, "The angel answered and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the Holy one to be born will be called the Son of God.'" It's found in the incarnation with Mary. We see the Holy Spirit in power when Jesus is being tempted. Luke chapter 4, 1 through 2 says this, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and at the end, he was hungry." Go figure. How many of y'all have been fasting, and go at the end of it, you were hungry? How many, the middle of it, you were hungry? But in temptation, in the incarnation, and in the power of Jesus' ministry, the Holy Spirit is made manifest. Actually, I'm not sure this is up there, but Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, Jesus says this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You hear that? The Ruach of God. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." And watch what he's anointed Jesus to do. "To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and set liberty to those who are oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know what I thought about this? Like, who was Jesus' greatest companion? Was it Peter? Was it John? Was it any of the other disciples? Was it? Who was Jesus' greatest companion? Without a doubt, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was Jesus' greatest companion. His reliance on the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was about to offer himself, this is the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus would go away to pray, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. when it talks about when Jesus came out of the baptism, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is always reliant on the Holy Spirit. And then, John chapter 14 and verse 26. Listen to this. But then, that promise that Jesus walked in, now is going to be available to you and I. Jesus said this before his, we call it his farewell discourse. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, watch this, will teach you all things and remind you of things, and remind you of everything that I have said. John chapter 15, just a little bit down in his discourse, he says this in verse 26, when the advocate, or the Holy Spirit, when the advocate, he talks about the Holy Spirit, we'll get into that in a minute, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about me. And then in John chapter 16, in verse 12, Jesus said this, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Let's go back. As I read this, I want you to personalize this because as a believer, the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you. Right? So this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit for you, according to Jesus. And Jesus rose from the dead, so we should probably listen to him. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, listen, this is what he's going to do. He's going to guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that you will receive. Excuse me. Let me read that again. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from what is me and make it known to you. The word there where it talks about advocate, right? That word is talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls him an advocate. Or another translation says, the helper. In the Greek, it's paraclete. Actually, it's the one who comes alongside to help. The one who comes alongside to help. The helper will come, right? You need to, and like when you think about it, and this word paraclete actually has to do a little bit with a legal term, right? So think about this. So when you need a lawyer, hopefully none of you need a lawyer today, but if you need a lawyer, that means you need somebody to come alongside you that knows the law better than you know the law to present your case to the judge, right? You need somebody who knows more than you do. That's the idea of the helper, the advocate, right? You need an advocate. You need a helper to come alongside you, to be that person, to speak and help you in your daily life. The Holy Spirit is your helper this morning. Aren't you glad? The Holy Spirit is there for you to help you. He's the one who comes alongside to help because you don't know what to do. I don't know, maybe you've got it all figured out. But at 50, I haven't got it all figured out. Maybe when I'm 70-something, I'll have it all figured out. I'm sure Rick's got it all figured out. And then this is interesting. In Isaiah chapter 11, this is a prophetic word about Jesus and what the Spirit is going to do when Jesus comes, right? Isaiah chapter 1, it says, a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, meaning from the lineage of Jesse, David, right, into Jesus. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Now watch what the Spirit of the Lord will do. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. And the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. There's a lot in that. The Holy Spirit, I want you to get this morning. See, this is where you're going to have to step out of your natural thinking and go beyond the natural, because the Holy Spirit is Trinity, he is part of the Trinity, who is God, go beyond the natural and receive instruction, receive counsel, receive wisdom from the Holy Spirit. It may go past your natural mind. He calls, let me just break these down. He's called the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. To wisdom, to know and understand and to comprehend the things of God. The Holy Spirit is the great barrier, not barrier. He's not the barrier. He is the God. He is the God's transcendent yet immanent. He is the perfect person that connects the two inside of you. He is the God who connects you with the supernatural transcendent God. And He will help you understand. Give me a high five. All right. He will help you. You know, you just don't make it awkward. Amen? So He will help you. He will help you understand the things of God. That's why Jesus says He'll take from the things of the Father and make them known to you. Right? The things of God, the things of the transcendent God. All you logical people, the great thing is you don't have to rely on it on your own. God has given you the Holy Spirit. Paul said it like this. He goes, I don't know. He didn't. You know, he's a genius of a guy. But what he landed on, he said, I know in whom I believed. There's something on the inside of it. He says, my spirit bears witness with God's spirit that I'm a child of God. There's something on the inside of you that it can't take it out of you. You know why? Because God has given you understanding of the things of God. And God speaks to your spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. That now you know that you're a child of God. Right? You know who you are. You know because God has taken, He's given you a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And then, listen to this. This is my favorite one. He gives you the spirit of counsel and might. I don't believe that He puts those two things together on accident. Wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. What does that mean? Well, I studied it. This is what this scripture talks about. This is what this alludes to. This counsel is exactly what you think it is. A counselor. I don't want to put all of our counselors, thank God for our counselors, right? He is your counselor. You need counsel. You need help. You need understanding. Do you need to go and go see the Holy Spirit is the greatest therapist ever. The Holy Spirit, we'll use that term, is your therapist. He will speak to you. He will give you wisdom and counsel. But He will also, watch this, He will give you the might to walk it out. He'll give you the might to walk it out. How many of y'all understand, you know exactly what you should do? Don't raise your hand. Probably that's a bad idea. You know exactly what you need to do. But man, you need some might to walk that out. Counsel, some counsel is this. Yesterday, terrible day. You ever have a project? Simple project. Seems simple. We'll just knock this out real quick. Like, everything that could go wrong with this project did go wrong with this project. Except at the end of the day, we had half of it fixed. But we went and bought a ceiling fan. Went and bought a ceiling fan, we opened up, why they wired my house the way they wired them and why they used the colors of wires that they used in my house. But it was wrong. It was all wrong. And I don't know why that you get your fan with the only way you can operate it is a remote control. And they don't give you a remote control. So you have to go back to the store to go get the right remote control. And they hand you a remote control and said, oh, this will work fine. They're all the same. No, they're not. That's not true. I don't know if you've noticed, people lie, maybe unintentionally, but, you know. But it was a bad day, and I was not handling it well. I know, shocking, everything's pastor's peace and tranquility. And Wesley went, that's a lie. It's my son. But so I just kind of, and you know what? My wife, she goes, David, you just need to go pray. You just need to go pray. Thank God for a wife who tells her husband, you need to go, just go pray. I didn't feel that way yesterday. I wasn't thanking God for my wife yesterday. We were all upset. Real world situation. It was not good yesterday. It wasn't how good and pleasant to dwell together in unity, was it yesterday, honey? You have those days. So, I go to the store. I'm returning the remote control. And you know what? This is what I thought. Can I just be honest? I'll just be honest. I said, you know what, doggone, I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. And I went, so I prayed. I just started praying. I was in the car, turned off the radio. I had nothing. There was nothing good on Saturday to listen to, for me anyway, all day yesterday. So I turned off the radio because it would be sports and it would be depressing. So I turned it all, you know, so I was on the way and I just started praying and it was, this is between me and God conversation, y'all don't need to be in on it. And let me just tell you, the reality of the Holy Spirit came in and changed everything. Changed my attitude, well not in a moment, it took, let's see, all the way down 92. But by the time I got to the store, everything was changed. You know why? Because the great counselor. The great counselor of the Holy Spirit. And it was almost just reminding me, the Holy Spirit was just reminding me how petty all this stuff is. And how it doesn't matter. How all these things are just things. You know, and one day, you know, we'll be in heaven and everything will be wired correctly. And all the remotes will work, praise God. First world problems, you know, it'll be over. And the truth is, but there's other things that I don't want to, it's personal. But God just worked on the inside and brought me counsel, right? And then came the counsel to apologize to my wife. But he gave me the power. And watch this. And the want to apologize and to make it right. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes as you walk this stuff out, the natural, you go beyond the natural. God speaks to you his counsel and he gives you the power to actually walk that out. But our job is we have to learn to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Are we yielded to the Holy Spirit? Or do we just do things out of our natural? Because God hasn't called us to live in the natural. He's what's that? Yeah, and God sent us friends. Thank God that Rick, he's handy, just everything. Rick can do everything. And so Rick came over to the house and helped us figure out the crazy wiring that's in my home. And we held that ceiling fan all up and got it all working, got it all put together. And that's when we realized that the remote was bad. So, you know, so I appreciate God sending Rick over to help. And we just had a great time. It was actually a great time together. And we laughed about it and everything. And, you know, and nothing got broken. I didn't throw anything and get broken. That sounds good. Because listen, the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, He is your, listen, if y'all can hear anything from me this morning, the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's your helper. He's trying to help you. It's Gandalf, right, looking at Frodo and say, I'm not trying to harm you, I'm trying to help you. In that big Gandalf fatherly voice. I'm trying to help you. He's trying to help us. And if we just listen and we learn to yield to that, he'll counsel you in who you are. Listen, if you're fighting depression, if you're fighting insecurity, if you're fighting loneliness, if you're fighting whatever you're dealing with emotionally, God is your counselor. Listen, Jesus said, He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Like if your heart is broken this morning, the Holy Spirit is the God of the transcendent become immanent to help you in that. He will speak to you. He'll speak to you. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is simply, I heard it defined like this, it's a wholesome dread of displeasing the Lord. Like that should be a part of who we are. Like a dread. It's like, I don't want to displease God with my life. The Holy Spirit will help and work that in you. But listen, we have to be yielded. And we have to shut off our mind and quit trying to do it on our own. Quit trying to, you feel a theme this morning? What God's trying to say to us this morning? We don't plan, me and Jessica don't stay there and go, you say this and I'll say this. I didn't even talk to Jessica all week. But God works, right? He's wanting us to yield to Him. To yield because He is our helper. He's our helper. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says this. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The wisdom just comes. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So we just ask. We just ask. And then in our crazy, busy, computer, iPad, phone world, we've got to put it down and be quiet and listen. One of the greatest detriments to a believer is just like a busied mind. Like many times, how many times Jesus led the example, Jesus Himself leads the example to go away and pray. Jesus? If Jesus needs to go away and pray, we need to be people to go away, right? Be people that seek after God. Just ask. And listen, can I give you some help? I hear, you know, some of us have these big, huge questions, right? Like these mammoth questions. Like some of our young adults, you'd say, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Can I just help you? Lay off that question and try to get that immediately, right? Just as somebody who's older, that comes as you live out your life, right? But what you can ask is, God, what do you want me to do today? What should be my response to this situation? How do you feel? What are you saying to me today? Because God says, He says, He's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, a lamp to our feet, right? God wants to lead us every single day, step by step. I say it like this, and if you've never heard it, but I like to, I used to camp more than we do now. I used to love to camp. I used to love everything about it, right? And I like to walk in the woods when it's dark and it's got a flashlight, right? Remember those old, like, incandescent bulbs that were just barely big enough to... Now they got the ones that... Wow! Like God created light again, and it's all over. But He says, I'm a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You know what that is? This is the way God leads us. And if you walk with God long enough, you'll realize this. Most of the time, it's right here. God's lighting your step by the Holy Spirit. just like this every single day. Every single day. And every once in a while, but as you walk, if you walked in the woods at dark, what you do is every once in a while you'll flip the light up to kind of make sure you're still going in the right direction, right? Right? Kind of flip it, but where's your light? Right here. Except when your kids are young, they're just going, you know. But what, boy, that's like some of us. Anyway, but it's right here. And every once in a while, he'll flip the light up and let us see down the path a little bit. Kind of see kind of where we're going. Kind of see a glimpse of what things could be and the possibilities of what they could be. But let me tell you, what when you see that, where does that light go? Right back here. Right back here. He's a lamp to your feet. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. What does that look like? How should I respond to my wife today? Seriously. This is what's going on with my kids, Lord. What should I do? This is what I want you to do. I want you to go downstairs and let him practice his jiu-jitsu on you. And then you get a scar on your forehead because you obeyed the Lord. Because why? Because it means something. And God leads you day by day in the simplicity of life by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? God will speak to you and help you. And some of us, can I just speak to some of my charismatic friends? Listen, sometimes we have relegated the Holy Spirit to like these huge manifestations, which are great. But you know what they mostly are? The power of the Holy Spirit? He's your counselor. He's the one who counsels you and gives you the might to walk it out. He's the one who lives in you, brings life to who you are, brings life to your body, life to everything around you. I love the illustration. That's why I wanted to show it. That when God's Spirit comes, He brings life. What does that look like? It looks like love, right? Kindness. How do you add it? What's your attitude towards your coworkers? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Maybe the Holy Spirit says, you just need to not say anything. Done. How many of y'all have been in a situation where you knew not to say anything and yet your mouth just, you just word vomited all over your whole coworkers and you had to go back and go, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm really sorry about that. Come on, but He will help you. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. I want to do a little exercise. I want to actually walk this out this morning. God's so good. And let me just say, for those of you who say, I don't even know, this is not even on my thinking scale. I understand. But let me just say, you can grow. Say, everybody say, I can grow. You can grow. You can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You can learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask this just to bow your heads for a minute. Just you and him. Just you and him. Shut off all distractions. I know it's hard. It's so hard to quiet our minds. And quiet your heart. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you nudges. Sometimes it'll be in words. Sometimes it'll just be a thought it might as well be a whole book of thoughts, but it's just one thing that He drops on the inside of you. Sometimes there are actual words that He'll speak to you. A lot of times he'll pull it right from scriptures. Because He said, I will take, it'll remind you of the things that Jesus said, right? I want you right there where you're at. If The Holy Spirit's going to give some group therapy right here. Just you and Him. I want you to ask, say, Holy, don't say it out loud, just say under your breath, say, Holy Spirit, what are your thoughts towards me? Simply that. Holy Spirit, what are your thoughts towards me this morning? And listen. What are your thoughts towards me this morning, Holy Spirit? God, what's your attitude towards me this morning? It'll always match up with the Word of God. So if you hear I'm a failure, you're a loser, it's not God. God, what are your thoughts towards me? Jesus. I want you to just grab hold of that. That's the truth about you. Maybe we'll even go a little bit further. Maybe there's a situation that you're dealing with. Remember, don't ask God about the, you know, how is this all going to turn out? Just kind of ask this, say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? What should I do about this? Be careful. You may hear words like rest. Let me handle it. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What's my part in this? Just listen. It may sound like a conscience. People said it sounds like a conscience. Remember, you are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. First of all, you are a spirit person. Jesus. With your head's bowed, still bowed, just out of my own curiosity. I want to see how many of you you feel like God really just said something. It was small, as it were. How many of you all would say that? Just lift your hands right where you're at. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, awesome. Well, for those of you who didn't, I believe that God, we're all going to grow in this. Amen. God wants us to grow in hearing from the Holy Spirit, listening to His voice, spending time with Him. And God, I pray this morning, God, that You would, I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I thank You, God, for Your words. I thank You, God, for Your comfort. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would help us to walk more in step with You. God, I pray that You would help us reject some of the wisdom of the world and, God, rely on You. And learn to walk in Your ways of kindness and love and the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you're in this place and you say, you know what? I've been away from God for way too long. But all this talk this morning about go living beyond the supernatural, that's where I need to go. I need to start living my life with God in the center. And if that's you and God's really dealing with you about that, listen, it's the only way to live. It's the only way to live. All the way in for God. All the way in. If that's you and you're in this place, you'd like to just say, you're not raising your hand to me just as a, a way, it's like kind of driving a spiritual stake in the ground, saying, today is the day I want to make a change. And I want to live my life for God. Live my life for Him and Him alone. If that's you, just lift your hands right where I can see it. Just want to pray with you this morning and see your hands. I see your hands. Awesome. All over. Thank you. Awesome. You put them down. So, Father, in Jesus' name, let's all stand together. Let's all pray together and say, just say this. Say, God, I look to you. I turn away from my old ways and I look toward your ways. I commit my life afresh to you this morning. Jesus, I thank you for your blood that cleanses me. And I ask forgiveness for all my wrong. And I receive your goodness, your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Fill me with your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.